This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Oh, I'm here. We self-quarantining, but we still gonna have a good time. Crowning the MOB gets us started. Be free, life fill our hearts and men just breathe. Speak, be heard for yours and just leave. Gotta break codes of silence, heal more straight from violence. No more police sirens, we want the lions. Common sense need applying. Sick of all separation, rise up from hatred. Unite the nation. Boy, ain't that right? Right about now? For real. Time to hit that chorus. Oh, yeah. You guys know what that music means. It means it's time to get this party started. It means it's time for one of your favorite podcasts here on the Yak Network. It means it's time for you to spend a little bit of time with your drunk uncle, your man, Anwar Richardson. And I'm here, funky fresh in the flesh, and I am so happy to be in front of you. I'm grateful that you decided to spend the time with me and listen to this podcast. I appreciate it. Now more than ever, you guys have tons of choices. I mean, a ton of choices of things to do while you are quarantining at home, right? There are tons of things to watch on TV, your Netflix, your Amazon Primes, your Hulus, all the podcasts that are available on the Yak, iTunes. I mean, you might be taking a class. I mean, there's so many things you could be doing. And the mere fact that you decided that you're going to take some time out to spend some time with me, I absolutely appreciate it. So from the bottom of my heart, I'm going to make sure I tell you thank you. I always do, but it's always important that I do thank you, guys. And I do say I do appreciate it. A little less shenanigans, as you guys know. You know, I've been trying out different things as relates to this podcast this year, in a little bit less of the shenanigans, a little bit more sports. Ratings have been pretty good, actually really good. I think they've been pretty high consistently. Probably helps that I'm putting it out consistently too, so then there's that. We're past that though. We've moved past that era. We're doing so much better. There's no need for us to go there. But yeah, man, everything is going good with the podcast, and I hope you guys, you know, doing good. You know, the one thing I'm realizing as relates to doing this podcast is that I realized that I had a lot more stories to share where we weren't on quarantine than I do now, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, because it was school stories, it was going out stories, like all these type of things. But at the end of the day, it's like, what am I really telling you about from a personal perspective other than this is just what I'm doing? You know, just it's Groundhog's Day, day after day after day after day. So hasn't been a ton to talk about. Hasn't been a ton going on for my personal life. Now, I will say this. I am spending more family time than usual. Of course, you spend family time, but clearly when you're around the family all the time, that's more than usual, okay? And me and my youngest son too, but my oldest son, you know, 7, and you know, you just, as a parent, like, you just don't understand and grasp how much your child has grown, because you still, I get it now, like, I get, like, how parents always see their child as a child, because I see my child and we're playing certain games and I'm thinking to myself, like, this is my little baby. Like, this is my little baby. This is my little baby. And I can't, it's hard for me to understand. And by the way, drunk uncle curses. So, you know, just so you know, listen to me in most appropriate places, okay? Because I'm about to curse. I can't realize and comprehend that my son talks shit. Like, my son, two things I've learned about him in this quarantine. He talks shit, and he don't like to lose. Both I'm okay with, because it shows he's a competitor like his dad. So both I'm okay with. I got to channel it. But, I mean, we play Connect Four. Let this boy win. Oh, he acts like he's a champion. He got the Queen song, We Are the Champions, playing. You know what I'm saying? He's got the confetti coming out the rafters. I mean, he act like he did the damn thing. But let me win? Oh, my gosh. It's almost like, I love you, Mommy Dearest. Like, I'm beating her with the hanger or something. Like, I'm beating her with the hanger. You know what I'm saying? That's an old, old reference. You got to be old to know what I just talked about right there. So we played in the Connect Four. I went and got us Hungry Hungry Hippos. You know how many years it's been since I played Hungry Hungry Hippo? I feel like the game is just junky, though. I mean, who makes that? Hasbro? Mattel? I don't know. The damn thing feels like it's about to fall apart all the damn time. But anyway, we played that. And they got these new things. It's like they reinvented some of these old games. And I don't get it. Like, the Hungry Hungry Hippo game, right? You guys remember, just get the marbles, you count them out, and then that's the person who wins. And they got this new thing where they got, like, a gold marble in there. And so you could play a game where that I think, equals more points. Or you could just do a game where that's all you put on there. And then you get, and that's all you play is with this one little marble, right? It's just, I like trying to get it. Like, so play Uno. Uno's changed. I don't know if you guys have played Uno, but back in the day, Uno was just regular Uno. But they got a couple of new twists to this Uno game now. They got this thing where you can put a card out that says you could swap cards with someone else. So you swap. I could take your hand away from you. So you could be like Uno, and I'm like, okay, boom, I took your card away, and now I got Uno. It's a crazy thing. And then it got this other thing where you can just put down a card. You got to draw it before the game, and you can put down, like, draw 10 on this, like, almost like a blank card, and you just make up a rule for the game. And I guess get somewhat creative, and I get that maybe I haven't played the game in 30 plus years, or actually I'm old, 40 plus years. Don't judge me. But, I mean, so I'm trying to figure out this Uno thing. My son talks crap in that. He's pretty good at the Uno. I ain't gonna lie. And then, I got a bike. I bought a bike recently because he loves to ride his bike. In the cul-de-sac, I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I'll go out there and ride with him. You know what I'm saying? First of all, didn't realize how out of shape I really was until I started riding on a bike, because I realized I was using muscles I hadn't used in a hot minute. So I'm pretty sure within the next week or so, I will pull a hamstring. Like, yes, I'm going to be the old guy pulling a hamstring on a bike. Like, riding in a circle. And he wants to race me. So this is what this little dude does. This is what this little punk does. So we raced side by side to start off with. And then clearly I'm blown away. So then he wanted to get a little bit ahead of me. And then I was winning. And then he wanted to, so he kept going up, and we're racing to a certain point. And he finally measured it to the point we had a huge enough head start where no matter how fast I pedaled, I was still going to win. And you know what he did? This is after, like, the sixth time of him us racing. I'm tired as it is. We raced for the sixth time. You know, the dude had the nerve to say, after I beat him like five times, I won. Dad, I beat you. I'm like, mother, are you serious right now? Are you really going to talk? I love him though. Playing with the baby too. He's almost 2 years old, and just having him yell at Echo. I had to switch it over because it was Alexa, but it's him yelling at Echo to play Dance Monkey and Baby Shark. I mean, my house is wild right now, y'all. I ain't gonna lie, my house is wild. You remember they used to have the show Girls Going Wild? My thing is like Boys Going Wild, and my house is upside down with just a tons of boy energy. But it's great. It's great. I wouldn't trade it for the world, and we're having a real fantastic time. So, and again, no Pimp Game 101. What are you gonna do? There's no Pimp Game here. What are you doing? I don't even know. I can't even imagine just trying to meet somebody right now, like today, swiping right. What are you gonna do? Just talk for 3 months? I mean, I guess you could court that long. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure ladies probably appreciate it, but man, that's just a long time without seeing somebody. And then when you see each other, what, you just come out with the mask and stuff? Like, I don't even know. So shout out to the single people. Hang in there. Hopefully one day it's going to get better for you. I won't be talking long. Yeah, there's not a tons of things that, you know, that that's to really get into. Like, there's some things that have been happening clearly in the sports world. Like, I'm sure everyone's seen Last Dance, right? Had you seen the Jordan thing, the parts 1 and 2? It's been really fascinating because, you know, we're getting to see a little bit of parts of Jordan that we haven't seen, and he's kind of lifting the curtain and lifting the veil for us to kind of go behind a documentary of this sort. I'm waiting for the part where I'm supposed to dislike him. I know they say that's supposed to be coming. But so far, I have, you know, nothing but respect for him. I've always had respect for Jordan. I grew up as a Knicks fan. I was a huge Knicks fan growing up. Like, a major, major Knicks fan. So I know what Michael Jordan can do. I know how good this man is. I know how bad of a man he is. He killed the hopes and dreams of my team year after year after year after year. And then the 1 year he's not around, the Knicks go to the finals and then play against the Rockets and they don't win. Of course, people blame it on John Starks. Whatever. John Starks was the main reason that the Knicks got to Game 7. So I'm not going to even sweat on him for that performance. But it has been an exciting watch for me. Clearly, the news of the week has been Gronk and Brady reuniting down there in Tampa. And it's just funny because I'm thinking, like, man, when I was in Tampa, you know, I cover, like, Brad Johnson, Jeff Garcia, there was another guy, Bruce Gradkowski was a quarterback. Josh Freeman. Oh my gosh, I remember Josh Freeman was drafted in the same class as Matthew Stafford, and Freeman had like a really good rookie year, and so everyone in Tampa, including myself, was like, oh man, the Bucks got to steal with this Freeman guy. Like, this Freeman guy is going to be legit. Like, Freeman might be that dude in the future. Yeah. Well, that didn't last long. And so he got drafted to Xavier Stafford and Sanchez. I remember they were all first-round picks back then. Mark Sanchez, Matthew Stafford, Josh Freeman. And, yeah, Freeman was good for a second, and then that kind of faded. And that's the funny thing about the draft that's going to be happening this week. That's the great thing about the draft. This is one reason I don't like the draft. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some other stuff. But there's one reason I don't like the draft. The same reason I actually don't like National High School Signing Day. The thing about the draft I don't like is that everybody is a winner. I mean, everybody is a winner on draft day. Who lost? Who lost? I mean, no one lost. Everybody won. You've never heard in the history of the NFL draft, all the years you watched it, you never heard a guy just come out and say, like, man, we just bombed that draft. I mean, there was a point in there where I was just like, man, I would just want to fire everybody. Like, these guys that we got, we're settling for, they suck. But overall, it was really shitty performance by our entire organization from start to finish. Like, no one ever says that. Everyone comes out. All 32 teams feel like they killed it. All 32 teams high-fiving. All 32 teams like, oh, man, we traded up. How good was that? We traded down. How good was that? We picked this guy. How good is that? Everybody's super hyped. And then it really, like, a couple of years from now, that's when you're like, oh, you guys really whiffed. That's the reason why I don't give guys like a Mel Kiper. I've said this on my podcast before. I don't give guys like Mel Kiper a hard time. I know a lot of people do. But at the end of the day, you know, Mel Kiper's just one guy. And if you view it like, hey, I'm just getting my information from him and that's the most important thing, that's what's up. But look at these other teams that invest millions in the research process, millions, and get it wrong. How am I going to get mad at Kiper if he gets it a mock draft wrong, where there is guys who their job is to get it right and they get it wrong all the time? all the time overthinking. And then how many times did a guy who was lasted to the fifth or sixth round end up being like the stud in the league, ends up being the all-star, the all-pro type of guy? And if you knew that, where would you have picked him, right? You get it, right? So, that being said, I'll be watching. I mean, won't you and I and everybody else have like a hellified interest in this thing? I am so excited about it because it's actually like kind of a live sporting event. It's the closest that we've gotten in a long time. And that kind of actually brings me to what I want to really talk about with you guys, which is kind of, I want to say a glimmer of hope. Like, if there was a message, if there was a title for my message, and a drunk uncle was standing behind the pulpit with the piano playing, you guys remember when I did a little Kyler Murray? If I had to do that, the title of my sermon would be A Glimmer of Hope. Turn to your neighbor and say, A Glimmer of Hope. That's right. Turn to your other neighbor and say, A Glimmer of Hope. A Glimmer of Hope. Okay, you may be seated. Yes. Clearly, you understand where I was raised. You know, even though in this time frame where there's not a lot going on in the sports world, it does not mean that I'm still not making calls. It does not mean that I'm not checking in with people. It does not mean that I'm you know, trying to, you know, find out things, what's going on. Because the major thing that's going on is we want to know when we're going to go and have sports again. And more specifically for you and I, we're talking about college football. Now, clearly the NFL is going to play this year. Like, the NFL is prepared to play football this year because the NFL understands, even if they go in front of an empty stadium, the majority of the NFL's money, the overwhelming majority, the lion's share of the NFL's money comes from the television contracts and not necessarily the ticket revenue. So overall, teams will be fine. It's the opposite when it comes to college football because the TV portion of it is just tiny. It's tiny. It's a small portion. The ticket sales is where they make the killing. The ticket sales, it's where it's at. For instance, like when it comes to UT, they make their money through ticket sales. They make their money through the donor contributions, the corporate sponsorships, right? These are like the things. It only like a small portion, I think it's like 15%. When we're talking about like the conference distribution, the media rights, postseason football, like away, that's actually about the 15%. The other revenue, I think, is around like it's a small percentage. I don't know, 8%, somewhere in between 8 and 15. Like it's small. Okay, don't quote me specifically, but it's small. It's basically from the TV money, and everything else is about having butts in the stands, corporate sponsors, ticket sales, and that's how the university makes their money. So the whole notion that people want to throw things out there talking about, hey, well, you know, college football can play in front of an empty stadium, that's not really feasible. I mean, now look, maybe this ends up being famous last words on my part, but it doesn't seem feasible because one, you need to make the money for ticket sales. Two, it's hard to imagine a scenario where you are having college football without having college kids on campus, because that's kind of been what's the edict. That's what's been put out there. Like, this is what has to happen. Well, drunk uncle has been more of the sober uncle during the quarantine portion. And I was able to check in with some sources. And one of the things I heard from a little birdie that's been very, very reliable to me is that probably, what is today? Today is Wednesday as of recording this. Sometime Wednesday, maybe later on today, that I'm hearing that President Fenves is going to announce through email that UT is going to have classes on campus in the fall. That's their plan, and that's what they're going to be working towards. In fact, everything I'm being told behind the scenes says that's what they've been working towards, and that's just the goal. Now, we talk about the economic impact Stay with me for a second. You know, drunk uncle's going to get a little, go a little deep. This is why I told you, you got to mess with your drunk uncle, right? Because everyone, you know, there's some silliness, there's some shenanigans, and every once in a while, drunk uncle's going to say some things that make some sense. And drunk uncle's about to go a little deep with you, but stay with me. Because we've talked a lot about the economic impact as relates to college sports, but let's talk about the economic impact as relates to not having college kids on campus, period. Okay, we're talking about continuing online education. What does that look like? Well, from a college standpoint, the college itself stands to lose money. Okay, this is not just a UT thing. This is an everything thing. And I've had this explained to me by a high-level official, and it totally makes sense. I actually took some notes because I wanted to pass along to you, and I'm going to pass along to everyone else on Orange Bus. The first and foremost is, if you continue the way you're doing, the way this thing is right now, you have to lower tuition because you cannot charge full price, continue to charge full price for tuition for online education. Because what people are paying for is that social component, which involves that their child being able to connect and make connections while on campus. Like, you know, that's the goal, is to be to have this professor teach them, but then to be able to also make these connections while they're on campus, so therefore they can go up to the next level. And if you can't do that, then you can't charge the full tuition. So there's one area that the university loses money. Another area is they lose money from the dorm revenue. Think about these empty buildings that are just sitting there. And if you don't have kids that come back, think about that the millions that are lost in that dorm revenue, the millions that are lost within the food industry of feeding these kids, like all these type of things. Like, and I say kids, like young adults. Kids is kind of demeaning, but young adults, like that money ends up being lost. There's a concern. There's a worry that, number three, that parents who have money, who have the ability to tell their kids, hey, just take a gap year. Hey, you don't have to do anything. Just sit back, chill, discover yourself. Let this whole COVID-19 thing play out. Take a gap year, and then you can go back to school in another year. Again, you're talking about a loss of revenue. These are concerns. These are things that people think about. Another thing that they're thinking about is that parents may just say, you know what, if all things are equal, and if UT is online or OU's online or whatever the school is, right, then at that point, just send your kid to a local community college. Like, at that point, your kid's in Dallas. They're not doing anything, you know, on campus at UT. You're not missing out on anything. We as parents, we're just going to save some money for the next year or two. We'll have you transfer there. You got the grades. But how about you save us a few thousand dollars a year? Because there's nothing to be gained by, yes, you're getting a UT education. We can get that later, but we're also going to save some money in the process, right? There's another concern, right? And this is the final thing, which is, you know, I don't know if guys are aware of this, but they're not doing a standardized testing. And you don't need necessarily standardized testing like ACT and SATs to get into a schools right now. So there is this belief and concern that, hey, maybe there's kids who say, like, I will go to UT. But you know what? With this standardized testing thing that's being lifted, maybe I got a good shot of getting into an Ivy League school. So I'm not going to put my eggs in a UT basket because, again, with everybody anticipating enrollment going down, that means there should be more and more possibility and more slots potentially in Ivy League schools. So therefore, why not try that route? Now, look, I hear the skeptic in the background. I hear someone that's saying, okay, well, what about the health of kids and testings and vaccines and all these other technical things? I'm not here for that. I hear what you're saying. I'm not here for that. What I'm doing is I'm disseminating information. You can do with it as you want. Like, I'll let you have the final judgment as relates to that entire situation. But the thought process would be, look, if they plan on getting back to on campus later this year, as opposed to next year, but they plan on getting on campus this year, then that could then save them, the school, from losing money. And then, of course, the athletic department from potentially losing money. Like, it would be a major hit. And again, I know the counter arguments. I'm not talking about it, but we're talking about just the financial standpoint of what things are and where we're at right now. You cannot ignore the financials. Like, it's very hard to say, okay, well, everybody stay and do the same thing until next year, but somehow still expect, like, our economy not to go into like the total shitter. Like, there is that balance, right? And they're not here for that. So from a university perspective, it's about like, hey, how do you find ways to make the campus safe for the young people and still be able to return to some semblance of normal, whatever that normal might look like. Now, from a football perspective, back there, just water in the morning, guys. It's I'm recording this thing at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not again, the shenanigans portions, I'll do that every once in a while, but you know, I'm trying something different. So from a football perspective, look, if this thing, and you know, and oh, it is the other thing. Oh my gosh, totally forgot about this. It's also important for the university to put this information out there sooner than later, because you want kids to make plans to attend UT in the fall. Like, you want that. Like, what you don't want is to wait until June to make that plan, because at that point, families have already decided, like, well, this is what we're going to do and this is what's up. So now back to, from a football perspective, what this could potentially do is send out the bat signal to other programs that says, hey, UT is about to do this. You guys hold on. Because look, if UT does this, OU, everybody else in the Big 12, they're going to say, wait. They're planning to play football. If they're going to plan to have kids on campus and play football, then we should probably do the same. Now, look, it's going to be hard because that's what she said. But it's going to be hard because in an ideal world, you want everybody on the same page. In an ideal world, the NCAA would not let conferences make their own decisions. In the ideal world, the NCAA would say, okay, we are the governing body, we are making the final decision, because you don't want a situation where Texas is open for business but New York universities are not open for business, but you know, maybe Louisiana is open for business but California schools aren't open for business. And you don't want, what does that look like, right? It makes one conference look bad, makes another conference look greedy. Like, at the end of the day, this is something the NCAA should step in and say, like, this is what we're doing. But what this could do is give us and everyone else hope that there will be some semblance of football on as scheduled. Now, I hear a lot of things, and I hear people say, well, you can do football at another point, like start football season in February. Well, the question I have about starting football season in February, because there's a couple of issues with doing something like that, right? You know, first and foremost, you're talking about starting football in the dead of winter. Well, if you're worried about the virus coming back again, well, every expert says that you could see a resurgence of it in the winter. February is pretty cold. That's dead of winter. I'm not quite sure how that works and what that even looks like. Second of all, you're talking about running into the NFL seasons and their off season and what that looks like. Third, you're also talking about a player safety issue where you're talking about having two seasons in 1 year. You're talking about one kid who could have an ACL injury in 1 year and miss one season, and then also a portion of another one. So you're talking about full body contact. You're talking about 24 games at the very least. 24 games at the very least. Within what does that time span look like? 6 months? 7 months? I mean, that's a lot on the body. You know, that's a lot to ask of these young men who, by the way, are student athletes or not getting paid. How does that relate to the draft, and how does that impact the draft? Does the NFL just go on as scheduled and the kids just say, I'm going to skip playing college football in February and just get ready for the NFL draft because that would be better for me? I'm not going to risk the injury. And then the other thing is, what happens to the bowl games? What happens to all the bowl games? The bowl game payouts. I mean, what happens there and what does that look like? Are you doing bowl games? Potentially in when? April? May? You know what I'm saying? Are you doing the Sugar Bowl in May? Are you doing the Fiesta Bowl in May? Are you doing, you know what I'm saying? Like Citrus Bowl in May? I don't know about that. I don't know what that looks like going forward. And that's why I think, in my belief, the best plan of attack is to shoot for the season starting on time. And then if for some reason it just can't happen, then it just can't happen. I was told that from my sources that they feel like, you know, mid-July could probably, if they had to get started up by mid-July, they could pull off getting ready for the upcoming season. Like mid-July would probably be enough time for them. If anything past that, can't start until August, something like that, it's tough. And it's going to be tough just to have a season. So the best plan of attack is just to wait. And the best plan of attack is to really shoot for the best, hope for the best, hope that all the people who are working on this find a great treatment plan between now and the summertime. And then look, if between now and the summertime to find a great treatment plan and kids are coming back to campuses and, you know, everyone's going to try to figure this thing out, then so be it. And then if not, and if it's just not feasible, then we have to say, okay, it just can't work. It's not feasible. And then figure out what the alternative plans are. Everyone I've spoken to within the building is they're working on a lot of contingency plans. None of them include a season starting in 2021. Not a single one. There could be the possibility of eliminating non-conference games and just playing a conference game and only playing 9 games. And if that happens, then that's a potential. You know, you eliminate the first 3 weeks of the season, maybe still have some practices then, and then pick it up in conference play. That's another scenario that they're planning for also. But anything more doomsday-ish than that, not so much. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with the release. Let's see what happens. I think the most important thing for everyone to remember is that right now it's April 22nd. And the season doesn't start until September. So you're talking about, Drunk Uncle's got to count it on his hands. April, May, June, July, August. 5 months. 5 months from now. Don't call me a mouth breather. Don't insult me. You know, we've talked about 5 months from now, another 2 to 3 months before you would have to start practice, and a lot of time with states starting to reopen. So there is a reason to be slightly optimistic about the start of college football on time. There is a slither of hope. We've got a long ways to go, but let's just see what happens. And let's all just stay together, man. Let's all unite. We all have different opinions about this whole damn thing. But at the end of the day, we all want to be successful. We all want to live. And your vision of it, and maybe different than someone else's, but at the end of the day, we're still all in this together. So let's just figure it out together and stand together. And then hopefully, as you know, we'll get through this together because that's what we do. All right, guys, ladies, appreciate you checking it out. I hope you guys like this new format, man. I'm just trying to tell you, I hope you guys like this new format. It's real, real, real good. It's been real fun. It's been great talking to you, great reaching out to you. You guys be safe. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the kids. Enjoy the family. Enjoy everything that you're doing. Drunk Uncle will be back to you next week. And hey, hopefully we'll start progressing. Hopefully this ball will get rolling downhill. And hopefully soon enough, we'll have some great things and positive things to talk about. And yes, hopefully we'll be able to talk about football soon. Always remember what I say. Live each day like it was your last, because one day it will be. We'll talk soon.